together tonight. So, and if some of you are sick, it's okay. Just keep your arms and hands and legs inside of your chair zone at all times, and hopefully the rest of us will make it out of here without coughing and sneezing and different things like that. But no, I do think it would be good to pray for everybody homesick, and it's just that time of year. But it's good to be together. You guys happy to be together? You know, I am definitely happy to be here. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about the good news that's going on. I'm excited about getting in the Bible. I'm excited about seeing Shakira baptized tonight. So it's all very exciting. I'm also definitely still running on the hype of Sunday. You know, it was such an amazing service together, worshiping God in Secaucus, wasn't it? I mean, it was just incredible. And, you know, a service like that, it's easy to have such a great time there worshiping, the inspiration, and then to come back and just get back in the groove of things. But one of the things that helps to prevent that is to spend some time reflecting on what you learned, what convicted you, what inspired you, and different things like that, and have a time of sharing those things so then we could talk to each other about them and hold each other accountable and call each other higher with those things. So I know I texted you earlier today, but I would love to just take a few minutes and have a handful of people just share something you learned or were inspired by or convicted by, a decision you made, anything like that from our incredible service that we had on Sunday. Just to remind you, the theme was, Here Am I, Send Me. And, you know, we had over 3,000 people worshiping God together in Secaucus from all over New Jersey and New York City. God really used Phil in a powerful way. And I'm really excited about all the things that are going to come of that. So raise your hand if you'd like to share. Awesome. Looks good. Let's start with Daryl and then work our way left.
Yeah, it was funny because Phil said it was intriguing as he was talking about it, but I know that it really impacts our ministry a lot. And it impacts me a lot too because I don't know if you guys know, but my natural state is just introverted. I had my brothers, my headphones would be on, I'd be drawn, I'd be in front of my computer, I wouldn't be around people. With that in mind, I'm also a conflict avoider. You know, if I got to get in there with somebody or something, it's like I'd much rather not. I prayed up to do it. But what Phil was talking about was just how, like, if somebody does something that hurts you, and then you don't say anything to them, and then you talk to somebody else, you're in sin. Because the Bible says, take it to that person right away. You know what I'm saying? And so that was really helpful for me. It's like, and then also, you know, being, you know, a shepherd, is like, I want to make sure that you guys are doing that. It's like, right. Hey, I'm kind of feeling this way about sister such and such. I'm like, You know what I'm saying? So that's my takeaway.
Awesome. Good stuff. Somebody else had their hand up over here, Hannah? You got it.
So,
no. But you can.
So, one thing that really stuck out.
You could squat even.
Oh my gosh.
Just kind of.
One thing that really stuck out to me was that he said that you have to have the courage to ask, where are you? And to be able to say, like, here am I. So, as much as, like, here am I, send me. And that really stuck out to me because right before that he was talking about forgiveness and, like, you truly believe that you're forgiven and the scripture that stuck out to me the most was Colossians 1, 21 to 22, and just basically, you know, you are forgiven. So that just really, I was like, it takes a lot to remember that every day, and when you think about all the things that you do and everything like that. And so for me, just thinking about, like, where am I? And knowing that Jesus meets me where I'm at, and where I am is forgiven, and so I can say, here am I.
Right.
So that would stick out to me.
Amen. That's awesome. That was such an encouraging stretch of scriptures when Phil just went through all them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know I was really inspired by that. Jordan?
And it'll still happen without you.
Yeah.
But just be with him
That's awesome. All right, somebody else over here. There's one or two more people. Mark?
I really liked when you shared Ephesians 1 and when he kind of went on just encouraging us how where we stand in Christ. And I shared that scripture that says, before the creation of the world, he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. And that just really got me so like, wow, God. Like, even before I was conceived, you said Mark is going to be cleansed and holy. Like, just the grace of God. That's what he wants for us. And so that really helped me a lot to think like, wow, that's what God wants for everyone on my campus. Like, before the creation of the world, he wanted them to be pure too, and he's choosing me to give that message to them. And so I just love this point about like letting forgiveness bring us to have that attitude. And it really helped me going into the week just to be grateful and have that gratitude to share, you know. But I was really encouraged by that.
Oh, that's awesome. Anybody else? Iman, you could be the last one. Yeah, that story with Agnes was incredible. That's awesome. Thanks, Iman. Did anybody else have their hand raised? Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing, those of you. I definitely think services like that, you just got to know those are times especially where the Spirit is really trying to guide His church and move us here in New York. And it's just really encouraging to have such a great service. And what a great theme, too. Here am I, send me. And especially tying that in with our study of the book of Acts, right? I mean, as we're studying Acts together, don't you guys see just such a great heart of here am I, send me in the first century disciples? I mean, that's just who they were. That's the heart that they had. And they showed that amazing here am I, send me heart for us to imitate. And I'm excited to get back into the book of Acts again tonight and keep studying that out for the rest of the semester. You could open up to Acts chapter 14. You know, in chapter 13, which we looked at the past 2 weeks, in chapter 13, the first official mission team was sent out with Paul and Barnabas on it, right? And first they go to the island of Cyprus, they preach there, then they travel over to the city of Pisidian Antioch and preach there. And last week Charles spoke about Paul's sermon to the people there in Pisidian Antioch. And he talked about how some people rejected the message of Jesus and some accepted the message of Jesus, right? And we're here tonight as people who are deciding we will accept the message of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. You know, and at the end of that, like usual, some persecution is stirred up against the disciples. And what they do, it says in the end of Acts 13, is they shake the dust off their feet and they move on to the next city to go preach there as well. And that next city is a city called Iconium. And it's a little bit east of Pisidian Antioch. And it's there that we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 14. So, Acts chapter 14, verse 1. I want to look at this chapter tonight, verses 1 to 20, and then the rest of it will be preached on at Old New York Devo on Friday night by Daniel Kennard. So that'll be awesome. We're going to look at Acts 14, 1 to 20, and look at some things we can learn here from Paul and these disciples' time here in Iconium that can help us to have a great impact for God with this here am I, send heart, here am I, send me heart that we have as well. Amen? All right, we're going to start off with verses 1 to 7. It says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. You know, we'll pick up in a bit here, but you find out some people have a plot to stone you, you want to move on to somewhere else, right? You know, but there's some reason for that there, and we've seen throughout the book of Acts the desire to persecute the church that goes on. And, that is a common response to the biblical message. But altogether, what I want to point out here is that these disciples, they spoke boldly, and then God confirmed their message with miraculous signs and wonders. They spoke boldly, and then God did miraculous things. These two elements combined led to that great effectiveness that they see of many people becoming Christians. They speak boldly, and then God comes in and does his miracles, and the result is a great number of people becoming disciples. So the title for my lesson tonight is Bold Moves Make Miracles Happen. When we live in a bold way, it can cause God to do miracles through our lives. Do you guys want to live lives of boldness?
Yes.
You know, well, the answer should be yes if you want to see miracles happen in your life. You know, if we want to see miracles, we've got to also be bold. You know, God wants to have a miraculous impact through our lives. When God looks at your life, he sees someone who he's put his spirit in and is not called to follow him to just do some average things. You know, when he looks at us as a campus ministry, when he looks at his church, he doesn't look at a group that he has set apart for himself to just do a few little nice things. Right? God has set you apart as a disciple, us apart as his people, to do great things for him, right? That's what God wants to do. He wants to use us to save great numbers of people.
Right.
You know, I love seeing that in here because, you know, sometimes I can start to just think, just to expect little. You know, well, maybe just one person will become a Christian or maybe just a few people, right? But when we look at the Bible, we see that God wants a great number of people, which is a miracle, right? People becoming disciples. That's what God wants to see happen. Amen? You know, but the success, the effectiveness, the success doesn't come from our power. It comes from God's power. But what we see here is that God's power can be inspired and driven by our boldness. As we decide to live boldly, to speak boldly, then that inspires God to share his power with us. Does that make sense? You know, I think that Paul, Barnabas, these guys, they knew for sure that they would not be effective in this mission that they went on. If they were to just go casually, if they were to give in to their fears, or if they were to just try with little effort and be not so ambitious. I think as they went out, they were thinking the complete opposite of all of that. You know, they started this off believing, knowing that there was an all-powerful God with them. And then since they believed there was an all-powerful God with them, they had a lot of faith. They had a pure and genuine faith. God is with us, so something great can happen. And then that's what drove them to do bold things. You know, what will help us to live boldly is really believing God is with me. You know, we can live faithfully, we can live boldly, we can live ambitiously when we really believe God is with us. Amen? You know, when we are driven to make bold moves, then God moves and blesses those steps of faith with miracles. Why does boldness work? I think boldness works to produce miracles through our lives because boldness shows your reliance on God, right? Boldness shows your faith in God. Boldness shows your willingness to push through your fears to do something for God. But if you're living boldly, you're saying, God, I do not feel comfortable at all in this situation. I feel fearful. I feel ashamed. I don't want to do this, but I will because you're with me. And because I want to see you do something great. You know, you're deciding to step out of your comfort zone because you love God, because you're following Jesus and you want to have an impact for him. And because of that, boldness draws God's attention in on you. Does that make sense? You know, we know that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully devoted to him. And it's clear someone is fully devoted to him when they step out of their comfort zone, overcome fears, and do something bold for God. Does that make sense? You know, why aren't we bold? You know, there's probably a good amount of reasons, but I think a lot of times we're not bold because of fear, right? Because we just allow something we're afraid of and fear to just overcome us instead of courage, right? I think not wanting to be ashamed or to feel shame can lead to us not being bold sometimes. Or maybe it could be being afraid, it could be being ashamed, or it could be apathy. You know, you're just not bold because you don't care enough about having an impact. You know, it's just not on your heart that much. You're just kind of focused on your life and not really, and kind of just lacking that desire to see God do something great through you. And that could keep you from, you're not going to do something bold if you're not driven, you know? You've got to really want to see God work. So fear, shame, apathy, amongst other things, can drive us to not be bold. I know for me, I think fear and shame are probably the biggest things.
Right.
Not wanting to feel ashamed, you know? A lot of it comes from just desire to uphold a reputation and not look a certain way, not seem super religious. I'm just, for some reason, very sensitive to that. I don't want to be this religious guy, and here I am, I'm a minister, you know? And, you know, so that comes up in me, just this, just the, you know, in the world today, it's not like, oh, wow, that's awesome, you're a minister, you know? Or, oh, you're a standout Christian, you know? That's not something applauded in the world. And I know in my sinful nature, I want to be applauded. You know, I want to be somebody that people are looking up to with a good reputation in the world or something like that, you know? So I know one of the things that keeps me from being bold is just a fear of looking religious, looking dumb, saying the wrong thing. Honestly, it's probably what most people are thinking. It's just fear and not wanting to feel ashamed. And when I'm stuck in that, when we're stuck in that, it's because we're focused on ourselves and not on God, right? We're thinking about, well, what are people going to think about me? What are, you know, what am I going to feel if I do this? And we're thinking about ourselves and not about God. We're thinking about our strengths rather than God's. And we're being fearful rather than faithful. And I think we've got to look at this passage. You know, for us to have a great impact for God, we too must faithfully live and speak with boldness. Amen? You know, one of the things I see here is that boldness, living boldly, doing courageous things for God and faithful things for God, it should not be an occasional aspect of our lives, where once in a while we do something faithful. Once in a while we step out on faith and really go, God, I'm going to do something bold here. And then months go by before we do so again. You know, boldness should not be an occasional, but a regular part of our discipleship. You know, you can't read the Gospels and go a day of Jesus's life without seeing him do something bold, courageous, and faithful.
Right.
Right? And that's who we're following. We're disciples of Jesus. So if we're trying to be like him, we too should want faithful steps and boldness to be part of our daily life. You know? So boldness should be something that is usual in our lives. I like that it says there in Acts chapter 14, verse 1, where it says, they went as usual and began speaking, right? So, you know, typically the term as usual is used in a negative context, right? Well, here he is, you know, late as usual, you know, or here he is, didn't bring food as usual, you know, or here, you know, like as usual is like, man, he didn't shower again, as usual, right? So as usual is typically used in a negative connotation, right? And what's great is that it doesn't have to be. In this passage, as usual is a good thing. Wow, he's sharing his faith as usual, you know? Or he's encouraging me as usual, you know? As usual can be a good thing. And here it is a good thing. You know, they went as usual and began speaking as soon as they got to Lystra and Derbe. You know, whenever those disciples got to a new place, it was as usual for them to immediately get right to sharing their faith there. You know, and I know for a lot of us, new settings, new areas are extra intimidating, right? As soon as we're in a new room full of people or a new place, we just get shy, right? Or get intimidated. Like, I'm not used to it here. I'm not, you know, but instead they said, you know what? Our default is going to be boldness. Wow. Even though we haven't been here before, God is with me. God is greater than who's with me is greater than who's with them. And they decided that although they were probably tempted with fear, nervousness, not wanting to be ashamed or all of those things, their default was, I'm going to be bold and speak for God as usual. And I think that's who God is calling us to be as well. And when we see that, it's no wonder that God just had this trail of miracles left behind in their wake, right? Every city they went to, they spoke with boldness as usual, and left behind was all of these incredible miracles. And I want to encourage you to make boldness your usual as well. You know, we can overthink things too much and get stuck in our heads, stuck in our hearts and all that stuff, as opposed to just saying, you know what, God's with me, I'm going to be faithful in this situation and do what Jesus would do. You know, obviously when we're living with boldness, there's going to be something that needs to be overcome. right? We're not just going to be like, oh yeah, this is super easy. There's some fear or something that needs to be overcome to choose. That's what makes boldness boldness to begin with, right? The definition of boldness is not hesitating in the face of actual or possible danger, being courageous and daring. So it means that you're facing real or possible danger and choosing not to hesitate, but to be courageous. So being bold implies there is some fear that you're needing to overcome or something, right? So we've just got to understand, hey, if we're going to be bold, that's not going to come without fear. We've just got to choose to overcome the fear because God is with us. You know, so my call and challenge to all of us from this passage is to live a life of boldness. You know, I'd encourage you to really pray about that, to think about it, and to challenge yourself. Live a life of boldness. Step out on faith and do something bold regularly. You know, regularly overcome a fear. Regularly step out of your comfort zone. You know, I want to encourage you, start this week, like tomorrow. Do something tomorrow that you would classify as bold. Some fear that you overcame. Something you were intimidated by and you said, God, you know what? Let's do this. You know, some situation you were in that you were feeling doubtful and decide, you know what? I'm going to be faithful here. And really believing that God's with you and that leading you to boldness. You know, I think we've just got to get right to it like they did as soon as they got there. And you know, what you could ask is, you know, what will boldness as usual result in through your life? What miracles will happen through you because you live bold on the regular? You know, so how can we be bold? I want to give you guys just some practical examples of some ways that you could be bold. Does that sound good? Now, boldness can look different in all of our lives every day because we're all in different situations. We all probably fall under different categories of things that we fear the most or different things like that, right? So being bold is in some ways going to look different each day because situations are going to be different, circumstances, the face that you're looking at, the person, whatever, right? So being bold is kind of hard for me to just say, this is exactly what you could do to be bold, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that whatever does happen tomorrow, you could choose to be bold in that situation. Does that make sense? You know, so how could we be bold? Well, first of all, we could be bold in our faith and in our prayer lives, right? Now, you know, when they arrived in a new place, they believed God was with them and going to grant them success. So I think we could start by being bold in what do we think God's going to do? What are we expecting God to do? And to be bold in those expectations, not to expect just little things, but to expect God to really do great things. And that's reflected in your prayer lives, that you're praying bold prayers. Does that make sense? You know, so if you have bold expectations, bold faith, and bold prayers, that's going to drive your actions, right? To go and live bold actions. So some practicals here. You know, first of all, we could speak boldly for God, right? That's what we see here is that it says they spoke boldly for God. How can we speak boldly for God? Well, we could share our faith with people regularly. Make that part of our just daily life is as we go from thing to thing, we're going, you know what? I'm going to share boldly. You know, if you look up the Greek word for bold and you look up the definition for that word, part of the definition means to speak freely, right? It's just without hindrance, right? It's just, you know what? Nothing is hindering my life or my speech. I just let it out, right? And obviously we should have some restrictions on what we say and how we say it and all that kind of stuff and under the umbrella of righteousness. But it's this idea of, you know what? I'm just speaking boldly. I'm speaking freely. And when Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, freely you've received, freely give, right? So because we've been saved, we should go throughout our day trying to share our faith with others, right? Just freely giving to other people the faith that we have. Amen. And inviting them into that faith. You know, how can you be bold in sharing your faith? By doing it regularly. You could be bold by sharing with people that intimidate you. You know, as soon as you think in your head, that person is intimidating, go share your faith with them. Initiate a conversation, talk to them about God, tell them about Bible talk, tell them about your life, whatever. As soon as you're facing a fear, you've got to see that as this is an opportunity for boldness, right? It's an opportunity for cowardice or it's an opportunity for boldness, right? And we choose, are we going to give into the fear or with God are we going to overcome the fear? So share with someone that intimidates you. Share with somebody a lot different than you. You know, be bold by standing up before your teacher gets there and inviting the whole class to Bible talk. You know, what if all of us did that in all of your classes over this next week? How many thousands or hundreds of people would be invited to Bible talk? You know, that would be bold. You know, challenge yourself. You know what? I have an hour every Wednesday between these two classes. I'm just going to share my faith nonstop for that hour with every person I walk past. That would be bold. You know, just speaking boldly for God. These should be the as usual stories that we hear about, right? Just standing up and inviting lots of people, rooms of people. Or maybe it's not crowds of people, but it's that one person you sit by in class every week that you keep thinking to share with, but you just never do, right? And deciding, I'm going to be bold and I'm just going to do it. I'm going to talk to him about God, right? So that takes boldness. It takes boldness to set up Bible studies with people and ask people, would you want to study the Bible to grow in your relationship with God? You know, I want to encourage you guys to engage, have the boldness to engage in conversations, and then to always have it on your mind to lead that conversation into helping that person study the Bible, right? Now that takes boldness, because I know you could get in conversations that go fine, but as soon as you want to start bringing up God or bringing up studying the Bible, we start to get afraid, right? So it takes boldness to turn every conversation into an opportunity to share your faith, right? So I encourage you to do that. And as much as we need to have the boldness to share the Bible with other people and to bring up the Bible with other people, I think we've got to boldly speak for God to each other, right? Where we go, you know what? I need to call out sin as I see it, right? If a brother or sister I know is in sin, I can't ignore that. I've got to have the boldness to talk to him about it. You know, having the boldness to address things that you know are going on in somebody's life and helping them with that, right? You know, in Hebrews 3, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. So we got to have the boldness to help each other with that stuff, right? But I'll say this too, as much as we need to have boldness to challenge each other and correct and teach and rebuke each other, we need to also have the boldness to genuinely encourage each other. I don't know about you guys, but I can get really awkward and insecure when I'm trying or want to encourage somebody. You know, I could really want to say something encouraging about someone, but just start to get insecure about, like, what do I say? And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I could feel insecure when I'm wanting to encourage someone, telling them something that I believe in about them or am inspired by about them or just how much I care about them or how much I love them. It could just be a little bit like, people just don't say those things a lot, you know? So I just want to encourage you guys also have the boldness to just deeply encourage each other and love up on each other. Does that make sense? You know, have the boldness to encourage someone. So that's one thing we could do, is speak boldly for God. You know, another thing we could do is be bold in the example that we set for others, right? Be bold in your example. You know, it says here, some people had their minds poisoned. And that's true today. Some people have their minds poisoned and think bad things about Christians and about Christianity because of false ideas or information they had, or a lot of times just bad examples, right? And people have their minds poisoned about different things in Christianity or in the Bible. And the way that Paul and Barnabas dealt with this was they spent considerable time there, right? They really said, you know what? We're going to spend time here and we're going to speak boldly for the Lord around you, right? So people, you know, you can argue with what people say, but you can't argue with what you see, right? So people might have their misconceptions about Christianity, but if you are really living out a great example of Jesus, no one can argue with that, right? People will know, well, that's true, because I see it in him, I see it in her, right? So I would encourage you to really set a bold example of Jesus in whatever environments that you're in. You know, the character that you have. Just really being a warm and kind person, you know, and exuding the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, right? Self-control. These things just radiate from you because you're filled with the Spirit. You know, that sets a great example of Christ for people. You know, it also sets a great example for people of Jesus when we do well in school, right? When you decide, you know what, I'm going to give God glory in school and you're a great student, that sets a bold example for other people to follow, right? Other people go, wow, there's something different about this person because I got a C and they got a B, or I got a C and they got an A, right? And they're able to look up to you and to look up to your character in that. You know, so I think it's so important for us to look at our lives, all areas of our lives, school, work, our relationships with our family, our relationships with our friends, and to really give our whole heart to those things so people could see a great example of Jesus. And not just the way you are at Bible talk and at church stuff, but all throughout your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So be a great student, be great at your job, be great with your family, be great with each other. And I think that's a way that you can be bold, right? And lastly, I'll say on that point, because it kind of ties in about people having their minds poisoned, is at the end of the day, we are not going to be able to win over and convince every person, right? There will be a majority that just disagree and choose to not accept the message, right? And we've got to also have the courage to know when to move on. And that's what they did here, is they said, you know what? We've spent time here, we've invested, we need to move on to try to help some other people somewhere else, right? And that takes boldness as well. But I think in the world we live in today, it's going to take boldness for us to just continue to believe the truth even when other people think it's wrong. All right, so we've got to have the boldness to say, you know what, I believe this, this is true, this is right, even when culture or other people in the rest of the world are telling us that something is wrong. So I encourage you, have deep convictions, have boldness about your stances on biblical things. You know, that you really do have boldness about what is true, what's not true, what's sin, what's not sin. What is true in the Bible about how someone is saved? What's not true about how someone is saved? And really have boldness about those things. Amen? Great. Let's look at the rest of Acts chapter 14 here as we close out the second portion. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. Acts 14, verse 8. We'll read to the end. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. You know, and I'll just say quickly here that one way we could be bold is when we see a need, we meet a need. You know, Paul's speaking, he's like, whoa, there's a lame person over there. Let me meet that need, right? So that's a way we could be bold too, is, you know, overcoming our comfort zones. We're wanting to do this, but we see that there's a way we could help over here. And boldness is saying, you know what? I'm not going to feed my desire right now. I'm going to go help out. I'm going to go serve this person. I'm going to go meet this need. So one way you can live boldly is see a need, meet a need. Amen? Awesome. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. You know these guys must have an impactful and powerful presence if they thought that it was Zeus, right? I mean, they must have really been preaching powerfully, boldly. I mean, if that doesn't show their boldness, I don't know what would, although they were obviously wrong. Verse 13, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. You know, it's crazy what's going on, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I will say, you know, it takes boldness to give glory to God. You know, as God is using you and people are saying, "Wow, you're awesome. Wow," you go, "Thanks. But I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for God." You know, I wouldn't be, I know I faced that a lot with school because I didn't do too hot before I was a disciple. I just wasn't trying. My GPA was like a 2.6. And I just was like, whatever, C's get degrees, you know? And I become a disciple and I'm like, no, that doesn't glorify God. I need to do well in school. I need to study. I can't cheat anymore. I need to go to all the classes on time, right? And Jesus helped me to become a better student to glorify him. And as I did that, I saw my GPA increase and graduated with a 3.85. And I'd be in classes and just honestly, sometimes wrecking the average. And it would get brought up, people would see my grade next to me, and I just would feel that temptation swelling up of going, I did do great, you know? And then I had to stop myself and go, Rob, without the Lord, you are bombing, you know? Like, you just were not trying, you were not ambitious, You cheated. You didn't even deserve the C's you got. You know? So, you know, I just had to remember, okay, without God, I wouldn't be here, right? And I think for us, it takes boldness to go ahead and go, whatever glory is going to us, we just reflect it right back up to God, right? So have the boldness to give God the glory that people are trying to give to you. Take encouragement, be encouraged, right? There are strengths that we all have and things that God gives us and he does, but we remember where they come from. Those strengths, those victories come only with God. Amen? You know, a couple of things about boldness I'll say here before we close out with the last practical example. You know, faithful boldness moves God to make miracles happen. But obviously it doesn't mean that there won't be retaliation, persecution, suffering, or challenges that come in response to doing bold things for God. Right? It resulted in persecution for them every time. You know, I'll say this, zeal without knowledge, right, is not something the Bible encourages. Right? So as we're bold, boldness does not mean being stupid. Right? Boldness doesn't mean I'm just going to be foolish and do something crazy just to do something crazy. Boldness will look crazy, but it's not just being crazy, right? I'll say this too. Boldness is not arrogance. You know, arrogance is not godly boldness. If you decide I'm just going to be independent and arrogant and think I'm right and know I'm right and be bold, and when people tell me I'm wrong, I'm not going to back down. That's not boldness. That is arrogance. It's pride, and God will humble you. Boldness is not being disrespectful, right? That is not boldness. These are worldly ideas of boldness. Being bold is not being rebellious. And decide, well, it's being rebellious to the ways of the world, but not rebellious to God, not rebellious to righteousness, not rebellious to authority in God's church. And you know what I mean? That's not boldness. That's divisiveness and rebelliousness, right? So just to clarify what's boldness and what's not. But I will say this. As we live boldly and we have wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and knowledge is also not just living comfortably, right? So boldness is not stupidity, but wisdom is also not timidity, right? So if we're going to be bold, we got to have the knowledge, but also the zeal with it, right? So we're trying to do great things for God, and that's what's backing all this. So we should not go looking for persecution, but we should be doing things that just happen to cause it, right? Because it's just the outcome of the situation. Not looking for it, but where we're living in a way that's bold and it's faithful and the world is retaliating. And then we hold tight against those retaliations. Amen? You know, my last practical here from this section is to have bold repentance. To repent boldly. You know, be somebody who doesn't repent slowly, but somebody who repents boldly. You know, any time that I've been called out on sin, it has been just I'm like, why would I want to sit in this any longer? You know, if I see something in the Bible or somebody points something out to me, I want to change this today. Like by tomorrow, this is dead. You know, bold repentance, you know, have the courage to repent and to call others to repentance, which we talked about earlier. You know, I love that it says where Paul says, turn from these worthless idols and serve the living God, right? That's repentance. Turn from worthlessness and turn towards God, right? Turn from these worthless false gods, Zeus and Hermes, and serve the living God. You know, so many idols are worshipped in this world rather than God, right? And we got to see in our own lives, what are the things that come in the place of our service to God? What are the things that we worship instead of God sometimes? You know, and as disciples, we've got to have the boldness to quickly turn away from those things. You know, so what are some things that you might be serving rather than serving the Lord? One of the biggest things is obviously people want to serve the idol of personal desire and pleasure and sinful nature, right? So it's just what you feel like doing. It's what you want. It's just this desire for pleasure, for comfort. Obviously falls into sexual impurity and debauchery, and all this stuff just flows out of that, you know? And to really have a bold repentance of things that lead to sin and your desire for pleasure and your sinful nature. You know, like Jesus said, hey, if something causes you to sin, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Now, he's obviously not being literal, but he's obviously being strong. And saying, if there sin is so destructive and dangerous and harmful now, tomorrow, and for your eternity, that the second you see any of it in your life or noticing something that causes you to sin, you just go, cut that off. And you just get far away from it, you know? If it's a person, if there's, you know, some guy or there's some girl, you just got to go, you know what? Cut this, bold repentance, you know? And if it's a TV show, if it's, you know, whatever it is, you got to know what desires, what pleasures, what in my sinful nature needs to be boldly repented of. Amen? You know, along with that, obviously, could come attitudes and opinions and feelings that you have about things. And it's good to have those things, and we need to have those things, but we need to surrender those things to God, right? And really have repentance in thinking and feeling about things the way that God does. And there's a lot of things that I just want you to really think about. Man, in my life, what are some worthless idols that might be trying to take precedence in my heart? You know, what are some worthless idols that are taking precedence in my life? And it might be things that you need, like school, like an education, like, but you got to look at them and go, although I have these things and need them, are they coming first in my heart, or are they in their proper place after God, you know? So it might not be things, there might be stuff you need to straight up just get rid of in your life. There might be stuff you shouldn't get rid of, like school and different things. But with those things, even you got to look at them and go, where do they stand with God? Right. You know, is my heart more for these things right now than God? Or, you know, where are you at with that? One last example that I'll throw out there that I think I want us to work on as a campus is how we do with the worthless idol of money. And it is almost ironic to say that because money is not worthless in a lot of ways, you know? Because we get everything that we need with it, and you know what I mean? But in a lot of ways, money is an idol that is worshipped. And at the end of the day, no matter how much money somebody has, we cannot pay for the blood of Jesus, right? When we stand before God, you could have your billions, your millions, your whatever you've got. And God does not need a dime, you know? So money is, in the grand scheme, it is worthless, you know? We need it to exist and function in this world, but it is a worthless idol. And I want you to evaluate, does your money go first to God or to yourself? You know? And Jesus talks about it. Hey, you can't serve two masters, either God or money. And he mentions money as the example, right? You know, and I know for campus this could be tough because a lot of campus students don't have a lot of it, right? But that doesn't mean, just because you don't have a lot, doesn't in any way mean that Jesus could be less Lord of it, right? So, you know, here's the thing, is that I think a lot of times as campus students with money, you guys love the poor widow, right? You're like, oh, her 2 pennies. And Jesus loved those 2 pennies, you know? But, you know, the example of the poor widow, and I know we like never talk about money in here, so I'm like, let's just talk about it for a few minutes. So the example of the poor widow doesn't justify giving little. It actually challenges to give more. You know, the focus of that teaching of Jesus there is not that she only put in 2 coins and God was happy with that. The focus, the point is that out of her poverty, she gave her 2 coins, all she had to live on. So it's not, oh, she only gave 2 coins, but hey, God's happy with that. It's she only gave her 2 coins and she only had 2 coins. That's what honored God. You know, there was no doubt. When Jesus was proud of her because there was no one could question whether she put God or money first in her life. Hands down, she said, you know what? Obviously, God comes first because I'm going to give all of it. And obviously, that's not wise for us to do. We need to, you know, the Bible teaches to give contribution in keeping with your income, right? So you got to look at your income and figure that out. But even that scripture is an encouragement to help people think responsibly about it because the disciples were giving too much. Yeah. You know, they were saying, hey, you know what? Jesus is going to come back soon. I don't need money, you know? And they said, no, give in keeping with your income because you need to be responsible. But we use it to justify giving less. Hey, I've got to be keeping with my income here, you know? And that's not what the original intent of that passage was. You know, so we want to be like the widow who there is no doubt that God and not money was where our heart, our security, and where our true worship is, right? You know, obviously when you have little, it's easier to fear and to want to stay comfortable with money. But I do think that contribution, as much as it furthers the church, it is for our own hearts. Because money is so obviously something all of us struggle with giving up and not using for ourselves. And contribution, I think, is so helpful for my heart to be sacrificial and go, God, I love you more than I love this.
Yeah.
You know, just like Jesus had asked Peter, do you love me more than these?
Yeah.
And the fish was his source of income, and that was his well-being, you know? We got to show God, you know what? I love you more than these, and show the proof of our love in what we give. So, you know, a contribution helps us to make sure we serve God and not money, trust God, not money, love God, not money. So I encourage you, look at your spending. Spend some time. Look at your spending. First of all, you should do that as a responsible adult. You should have a budget. You should know where's your money going, how much comes in, how much is going out. You should start working on savings. You should think responsibly about money, but also think spiritually about it. And as you look at your spending, as you look at your contribution, ask yourself, who does this show that I serve more? And I really want to ask you guys to think about that and to look at yourselves. You know, we make sacrifices. We do make personal sacrifices financially for clothing, for lattes, for devices. And those purchases make us bite our teeth a little bit sometimes, but at the end of the day, we're willing to make the financial sacrifice because it's for ourselves. So I just encourage you, whatever financial sacrifice you're willing to make for yourself, be all the more willing to make that financial sacrifice for God. Does that make sense? So have the boldness to honor God with your money. Be bold with your contribution. You know, when you give your contribution, be like, I'm giving boldly today, faithfully. Amen? Amen. So that's probably the first time we've talked about money in a midweek in a very long time, if ever. So, amen. I want to close out with the last part here. I'm not going to say much about it because it speaks for itself. But this is probably one of my favorite paragraphs in the entire New Testament. This is, when I see this passage, it's made me laugh in a like a, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. I'm so inspired way. It's also made me tear up before thinking about just Paul's faith and his boldness. So, you know, they came up with a plot to stone him, right? Back in Iconium. So they flee over. So those people who had the plot to stone him follow behind. And they follow through on that plot. It says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Paul is stoned. So much so, not one or two rocks, but enough to where they thought he was dead. And then they grab him by the arm or foot, and they drag him through the dirt streets outside the city and leave him there dead. The disciples gather around him. Paul gets up, probably bruised head to toe, bleeding, broken ribs maybe, and he walks back into the same city. Isn't that boldness right there? That's faithfulness to God. Talk about resilience and boldness. You know, true boldness never stays down. And that's the boldness we've got to have, is a boldness that never stays down. A boldness that always gets back up, even if we're beaten to the point of being nearly dead. Spiritually, literally, you get back up. Amen? You know, this was an unstoppable man on the mission. And I really want to encourage you guys to have the faith, to have the boldness that Paul had right here. You know, this was the boldness of Jesus who, you know, who had every opportunity to say no and to pause the crucifixion and get out of it, but decided, I'm going to keep going anyway. You know, that same boldness that Jesus has is the boldness that we see in Paul. And that's the boldness that God is calling us to live with. Right? So let's be men and women who live lives of boldness. And I would encourage you guys, start right away, tomorrow. When you have a fear or a situation you're nervous in, decide, I'm going to be bold right here. God is with me. Jesus is with me. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be bold as usual because that's who I am. That's the way that I live. You know, what miracles will boldness as usual bring through you? You know, what miracles will follow you from place to place that you go? Because as you go right away, you're bold, you're faithful when you arrive there. Amen. You know, one last bit of good news and a story here is that, you know, we make bold moves and sometimes God makes bold moves, you know? And I just want to share kind of a good news from Chelsea and I is, you know, God does bold moves. And one bold move he did was giving us Bradley. And we're like, we've got this, you know, and that's going awesome. And God has decided, you know, I'm going to do something bold again. And what we've got coming up here in just a few months is Baby Novak round two. So if that didn't catch you off guard, I don't know what would. It's true. Chelsea's pregnant. We're 3 months pregnant with, not 3 months, 11 weeks. 11 weeks pregnant with round two. And we've got a second little baby boy coming. So it's so exciting.